听力课堂，听 class.com。
Passage 2. English to Chinese interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
I do appreciate the invitation to be here this evening, and I want to thank Intel and everyone associated with the Science Talent Search.This is a proud evening for the young people that I've just met, as well as for their parents and their teachers. My congratulations to each and every one of you. Much of the public debate these days is centered on how to improve our country's schools. This is clearly the main concern of most Americans, and it's the top priority of the President and our administration.As we carry on the discussion, we need to step back now and then and recognize the good. For all the problems in education today, American schools are still producing the finest young scientists, engineers, physicians, and mathematicians in the entire world. Earlier today, I met with the French ambassador in my office.And I remembered that the first representative that America posted to Paris was a scientist and inventor named Benjamin Franklin. Many look at Franklin's life and see the epitome of what makes an American, the qualities of optimism and practicality, the independent cast of mind, and the drive to work, succeed, and to rise in the world.Whether your family has lived here since Franklin's time, or if, like some talent search finalists over the years, your life began on another continent, this is your country. And as young scientists, you really are keepers of an amazing legacy of creativity, enterprise, and human progress. The story is told of Joseph Fritz, an engineer,in the steel industry in Pennsylvania during the 19th century. A new machine had been designed to improve the steel-making process, and Fritz and some others were given the job of making the thing work. It was a huge undertaking. Their crew labored for weeks and months. When they finally had everything put together, Fritz looked around and said, "All right, boys, it's finished.Let's start it up and see why it doesn't work." Invention and discovery are like that sometimes. The people who really make a difference are the ones who keep at it, who find out what doesn't work and why, who go on learning and experimenting and giving the best they have to give. For 6 decades, the Science Talent Search has rewarded this kind of effort.As we review the history, we see that doing well in this competition is a strong indicator of future achievement. Finalists and semifinalists have gone on to receive the Nobel Prize. The Fields Medal and the National Medal of Science, as well as membership in the National Academies of Sciences and Engineering.The talent search has also helped change the face of American education. In 1942, only 1 out of every 25 high schools in America offered science courses. The founders of the program found this unacceptable in a nation fighting a world war and preparing for world leadership. This competition has provided constant motivation to schools.To strengthen their course offerings in science, technology skills, and advanced math. There is still more to be done. The government should support the effort wherever possible so that all of our students might be offered challenging curricula and textbooks. President Bush and Education Secretary Page are proposing a math and science partnership fund.To improve course offerings in schools across the country. and new initiatives draw even greater numbers of talented teachers into these fields. The plain truth, as Craig Barrett has often pointed out, is that the modern economy has made advanced math and science and technology skills as basic to a sound education as the RRRs. Students who learn them are preparing for the jobs of the future. At the same time, such knowledge equips young people to meet what President Kennedy called the greatest challenge of modern science, to expand life and hope for the world's inhabitants. The finalists we recognize tonight have already shown themselves equal to the task. They've set before us new possibilities for the treatment of disease, faster computing, more resilient crops, and safer vehicles. In their work, we find new insights into applied mathematics, a better understanding of the natural world around us, and even, I am told, an idea of how we might build a sweeter-sounding violin. All of this goes to show that the pursuit of knowledge, attended by youthful idealism and guided by moral purpose, is inherently good. It ennobles the seeker and brings to an imperfect world an extra measure of hope and gladness and beauty. Every time this happens, every time a new generation applies the old virtues of perseverance, patience, and discipline, every time God-given talents are put to their highest and best use, then we have the cause to celebrate. And that is why we've come here this evening. Once again, on behalf of the President and millions of Americans, I congratulate the finalists, and I commend the parents and teachers who have encouraged you every step of the way. They and I share the excitement of knowing that what we see now is only the beginning. The sun is just now rising over your professional lives. For each of you, my wish is that your career will be a continuing story not only of high achievement, but high purpose, integrity, and humanity. Thank you very much.
Unit 16, International Relations. Section 1, Dialogue for Interpretation. Text Interpreting. Interpret the following conversation alternatively into English and Chinese.
总统先生,我们很荣幸能有此机会和您交谈。您的中国之行已近半程。我想你对今天的中国有了更清晰的认识。在您的印象中,中国是不是和从前不一样了呢?
Oh, yes.
那最令人难忘的变化是什么呢?
Well, China is still the most populous country in the world. But I think one is immediately struck by the dramatic economic growth and by the opening of China to the rest of the world. I also believe there is a genuine increase in people's control over their own lives. Incomes are going up. People have more choices in education, more choice in jobs, the freedom to travel. The state-run industries are going down in relative importance, and cooperatives and private businesses are coming up. So, I think there's a genuine movement toward openness and freedom in China.
总统先生,很显然您对今天的中国有了深刻的认识。现在您在中国待了近一个星期,那您认为此次之行的主要成果是什么呢?
I think there are several. First of all, in the whole area of non-proliferation, the fact that we have agreed not to target nuclear weapons at each other is very important. The second thing is, China has agreed to work with us to stop the transfer of technologies to countries that might misuse it, and to consider joining the worldwide system that prevents the exportation of dangerous technologies. That's also important. But finally, I think that in the end, it may be that the biggest achievement was the increased understanding and the sense of a shared future.
我想中国人民和美国人民都很乐意看到这些成就。
I think so. So I think it's a very productive trip.
总统先生，你也承认中国和美国有着一些分歧。在当今世界，中国是最大的发展中国家，而美国是最大的发达国家。对这两个既有着共识又有着分歧的国家，他们应如何发展彼此之间的关系呢？
In every relationship, in every business partnership, in every family, in every enterprise, you have agreements and disagreements. So what we have to do is we identify both agreements and disagreements here and then keep working to try to bridge the gap. Our major differences are in trade and in the human rights area. But if you back up 3 years ago, we've made significant progress in both those areas. And if you back up 5 years ago, a lot of differences, most of them have been eliminated.
在过去五年，我们看到彼此关系大大进步了。
Yes, and I would say to the people of China and the people of the United States, the world is not too small for two big countries. It is a small world, and we have no way to change it. That should make us both more responsible, with a greater sense of responsibility for our own people.For our partnership with each other and for the rest of the world as well.
非常感谢您给我们这个机会和您面对面促膝交谈，非常感谢。
Thank you.
Section 2 Text for Interpretation Passage 1 Chinese to English Interpretation Text Interpreting.Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
女士们、先生们，在这个金秋时节，来到美丽的德克萨斯，我感到十分高兴。这里独特的人文和自然景观，给我留下了美好而深刻的印象。首先，我对市长先生和大学举行这次活动表示由衷的谢意。大学展示了市长先生各方面活动的历程，包括他为中美关系发展做出的贡献。市长先生是中国人民的老朋友，无论作为政府官员还是普通公民，他一向关心和支持发展中美关系，做了许多有益的工作。我希望在他的直接参与和指导下，这所大学将成为美国又一个研究中国问题和开展中美友好活动的中心。中美建交已经30余年，这个时期正是中国实施改革开放的新政策，大力推进现代化建设的时期。30多年来，中国的发展取得了举世瞩目的成就。中国越发展越开放，与世界的联系越紧密，就越需要一个长期和平稳定的国际环境。促进世界与地区的和平与发展，符合中国的根本利益。中华民族自古就有以诚为本、以和为贵、以信为先的优良传统。中国在处理国际关系时，始终遵循这一价值观。 中国对外政策的宗旨是维护世界和平，促进共同发展。2000多年前，中国先秦思想家孔子就提出了君子和而不同的思想，和谐而又不千篇一律，不同而又不相互冲突，和谐以共生共长，不同以相辅相成。和而不同是社会事物和社会关系发展的一条重要规律，也是人们处事行事应该遵循的准则，是人类各种文明协调发展的真谛。大千世界丰富多彩，事物之间、国家之间、民族之间、地区之间存在这样那样的不同和差别是正常的，也可以说是必然的。我们主张世界各种文明、社会制度和发展模式应相互交流和相互借鉴，在和平竞争中取长补短，在求同存异中共同发展。中国地处亚太地区，十分关心亚太地区的和平与稳定。我们坚持以邻为善，通过和平谈判同绝大多数邻国解决了陆地边界问题，与东盟就制定南海地区行为准则保持磋商，与所有周边国家和睦相处。中国是维护亚太地区和平的坚定力量，美国也是太平洋地区的大国，我们愿与美国和亚太各国共同努力，为促进地区的和平与繁荣发挥作用。当今世界，人类仍然面临着许多严峻的挑战，恐怖主义、大规模杀伤性武器扩散、地区冲突和环境恶化等问题，对世界和平与发展造成了严重威胁。中美都是恐怖主义的受害者，在反恐斗争中，中国人民一直与美国人民站在一起，进行着良好的合作。中国将继续加强与美国在反恐领域的磋商和合作，同世界各国一道，共同打击恐怖主义这一国际公害。中国是世界上最大的发展中国家，美国是世界上最大的发达国家，中美经济互补性强，文化各有所长。两国在经贸、能源、环保、科学技术和教育等方面的合作潜力巨大，前景广阔。发展我们两国的建设性合作关系，符合两国人民的根本利益和两国人民的共同心愿，必将造福于两国人民。让我们继续共同努力，增进了解，扩大共识，发展合作，共创中美关系的美好未来。谢谢。
Passage 2 English to Chinese Interpretation Text Interpreting Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage.From English into Chinese.
Distinguished Presidents, Your Excellencies, Humanity has come a long way out of the ruins of the Second World War, thanks to this august organization, the United Nations.
We have emerged from the era of Cold War and incessant fears of global conflagrations. A new horizon is now in front of us, predicated on ever-widening possibilities for development in all spheres of human endeavor, resulting from unparalleled advances in science and technology. But new challenges have also emerged, challenges of poverty and new disease that have so far defied scientific knowledge and control. The world is also faced with the scourge of internal conflicts which threaten regional peace and impede social and economic development. Although the world has generally become a safer place to live in, thanks to the contributions of the United Nations, we must all feel deeply worried that the message of hope which this organization has been spreading is yet to reach the millions of mankind for whom it is intended. For the vast majority of our peoples, grinding poverty has remained a fact of their everyday existence. The national governments to whom these millions look up to for succor find themselves in the unenviable predicament of helplessness, incapable of bringing meaningful changes in their people's well-being, due to the heavy burden of external debts which have crippled their capacities for national initiatives. Old diseases such as tuberculosis, which we all thought had been eradicated, have reappeared with devastating consequences, especially in developing countries. In addition, we now have AIDS, which continue to defy control, and has now combined with malaria, tuberculosis, and other infectious diseases to form a lethal nexus with as much potential for devastation as war itself, and thus a modern-day threat to world peace and security. The new age is being shaped by forces of globalization that are turning our world into a village. Thus, the new age will demand of us, more than ever before, to live and work together as members of one human family. But up to now, globalization has meant prosperity only for the chosen few of the industrialized countries. For us, the developing world, globalization will continue to ring hollow and of dubious value until we see its positive effects on our fortunes. In short, globalization has to be seen to mean the eradication of poverty, and then, and only then, will the true spirit of good neighborliness reign in the new global village. The world community is challenged to evolve a new system of international cooperation that will help to eliminate abject poverty throughout the world and integrate the developing countries into the globalized world economy. At the first South Summit, held in Havana, Cuba, last April, it was resolved that a new and meaningful partnership with the industrialized nations needed to be forged in order to make this earth a better place for all of us. We must all be concerned about the persistence of internal conflicts, more especially in our region of Africa. These conflicts have proved to be very brutal, savage, and devastating. The unfortunate destruction of lives and properties, and their effects on the weaker members of the society, namely children and women, remind us as members of the UN that our objective of world peace is still beyond many communities. Our aim in the new age, therefore, must include a renewed determination to resolve these conflicts and prevent new ones, so that together all humanity will reap the benefit of peace and march forward in harmony and prosperity. We are at the beginning of a new dawn. What it portends, we cannot say. But this much we owe to ourselves and to succeeding generations. A world where all nations, all races and all peoples can live in dignity and in peace with one another. We must all resolve to strengthen and reinvigorate the United Nations for the work ahead. Thank you.
Section 4. Interpretation Practice. Note-taking and gap-filling. Note-taking. Listen to the tape and take any necessary notes.
We are in this interdependent world of open borders, easy travel, mass migration, universal access to information and technology, drenched in global media. Now this world has brought great benefits to our people and to people everywhere who are prepared to make the most of it and have the right values, the right vision, and do the right things. But there is a big problem with our interdependent world. It does not include all of us yet. Half the world's people live on less than $2 a day. 1 million people live on less than $1 a day, including people in 3 of the 5 nations I visited on my recent trip to Africa. 1 billion people are hungry every night. 1.5 billion people never have any clean water. 130 million kids never go to school. 10 million children die every year of preventable childhood diseases, even though overall life expectancy is up and infant mortality down, even in the developing world.
Gap filling. Listen to the tape and fill in the blanks with the words missing.
There is nothing in the existing economic and political order that can serve the interests of humankind. Thus, it is unsustainable, and it must be changed. Suffice it to say that the world population is already 6 billion, 80% of which live in poverty. On the other hand, wealthy countries keep investing enormous amounts of money in the military and in luxurious items. Nature is being devastated. The climate is changing under our own eyes, and drinking water is increasingly contaminated or scarce. The sources of man's seafood are being depleted, and crucial non-renewable resources are wasted in luxury and triviality. Anyone understands that we should save the world not only from war, but also from underdevelopment, hunger, diseases, poverty, and the destruction of the natural resources indispensable to human life, and it should do so promptly before it is too late. The dream of having truly fair and sensible rules to guide human destiny seems impossible to many. However, we are convinced that the struggle for the impossible should be the motto of this institution that brings us together today.
Passage Interpretation. Passage 1. Chinese to English Interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
首席执行官阁下及夫人，女士们、先生们、朋友们， 我很高兴有这个机会应首席执行官阁下之邀对巴基斯坦这个中国人民的老朋友进行国事访问。一踏上这片土地，我们就沉浸在巴基斯坦人民对中国人民的深情厚谊之中。今天下午，首席执行官阁下和我 进行了真诚而富有成效的谈话，并就许多问题达成共识。而现在，你们又举办了如此盛大的欢迎晚宴，我妻子和代表团其他成员都希望和我一起向阁下和夫人表达真诚的感谢，并向在座所有的巴基斯坦朋友表达我们美好的祝愿。 中国和巴基斯坦唇齿相依，2000年前丝绸之路为我们的友好往来架起了桥梁。今天 喀拉昆仑高速公路将我们紧密相连。自从外交关系建立的50年中，中国和巴基斯坦的友谊与合作在双方的共同努力下不断地向前发展。虽然社会制度、意识形态和宗教信仰各不相同，我们成功地贯彻了和平共处5项原则，为彼此之间的睦邻友好关系、相互信任和互惠合作树立了榜样。中国政府将进一步加强与巴基斯坦的全方位合作伙伴关系，为两国友好往来注入新的生机与活力。在过去的50年里，中国和巴基斯坦这两个发展中国家对许多的重大国际问题都有着相同的理解。在国际论坛上，巴基斯坦向来与中国同生共气，坚定不移地支持中国积极保卫国家统一和领土完整，维护国际人权事业上的正义和尊严。在新世纪里，中巴两国将继续加强合作，捍卫发展中国家的团结和利益，共同努力积极建设一个公正合理的国际政治经济新秩序。南亚不仅是亚洲的重要部分，而且是全世界的重要部分。地区的和平与发展对亚洲乃至全世界的稳定与繁荣紧密相连。中国是南亚的近邻，我们关注该地区的局势。中国真诚地希望南亚能维持和平与稳定，各国能和平共处，在政治上不分贵贱，为经济的共同发展紧密合作，同心协力建设一个安全和谐、经济不断发展的南亚。这不仅符合该地区所有人民的共同心愿和根本利益，而且对亚洲以至全世界的和平与稳定都是大有裨益的。中国人民将和南亚的所有国家，包括巴基斯坦，一起为实现这个目标而贡献我们的心力。朋友们，现在的中国政治稳定，经济发展强劲，社会各方面都在进步。中国人民已经找到一条符合国情的发展道路，目前正全情投入促进经济发展，决心全面实现现代化，在本世纪中期将中国建设成为一个富强繁荣、民主文化发达的社会主义国家。中国的稳定和发展不仅有助于亚洲的富强和发展，而且对世界和平与发展有重要的贡献。在这个新老朋友相聚的时刻，请允许我再一次向首席执行官先生、向巴基斯坦政府和人民表示感谢，感谢你们的盛情邀请，并允许我向长期以来为中巴两国友好关系而努力的各界人士和朋友们表达我的敬意，祝愿我们的友谊之树长青。现在让我们举杯，为巴基斯坦伊斯兰共和国的繁荣和人民的幸福，为进一步推进中巴两国的友情，为首席执行官先生及夫人的健康，为所有在座的朋友们的身体健康，干杯。
Passage 2, English to Chinese interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese. Honored guests, fellow delegates, and observers, I am pleased and proud to address this historic conference on behalf of the United States of America. My government congratulated the thousands who have helped to organize the conference, to draft the platform for action, to inform the world about the subjects under discussion here, and to encourage wide participation both by governments and NGOs. We have come here from all over the world to carry forward an age-old struggle, the pursuit of economic and social progress for all people, based on respect for the dignity and value of each. We are here to promote and protect human rights and to stress that women's rights are neither separable nor different from those of men. We are here to empower women by enlarging their role in making economic and political decisions, an idea some find radical, but which my government believes is essential to economic and social progress around the world. Because no country can develop if half its human resources are devalued or repressed. We are here because we want to strengthen families, the heart and soul of any society. We believe that girls must be valued to the same degree as boys. We think women and men should be able to make informed judgments as they plan their families. And we wanted to see forces that weaken families, including pornography, domestic violence, and the sexual exploitation of children, condemned and curtailed. Finally, we have come to this conference to assure for women equal access to education and health care, to help women protect against infection by HIV, to recognize the special needs and strengths of women with disabilities, and to attack the root causes of poverty, in which so many women, children, and men are entrapped. We are here to make further progress towards each of these goals. But real progress will depend not on what we say here, but on what we do after we leave here. This World Conference for Women is not about conversations. It is about commitments. Let us strive for the day when every young girl in every village and metropolis can look ahead with confidence that their lives will be valued, their individuality recognized, their rights protected, and their futures determined by their own abilities and character. Let us reject outright the forces of repression and ignorance that have held us back, and act with strength and optimism unity can provide. Let us honor the legacy of the heroines, famous and unknown, who struggled in years past to build the platform upon which we now stand. And let us heed the instruction of our own lives. Look around this hall, and you will see women who have reached positions of power and authority. Go everywhere, and you will see an explosion of energy and intelligence devoted to every phase of this struggle. Enter any community in any country, and you will find women insisting, often at great risk, on their right to an equal voice and equal access to the levers of power. This past week, on video at the NGO forum, one representative said that it is time to apply in the arena of the world the wisdom and experience women have gained. Let us all agree, it is time. It is time to turn bold talk into concrete action. It is time to unleash the full capacity for production, accomplishment, and the enrichment of life that is inherent in us, the women of the world. Thank you very much.